Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, is it all? Okay. And build up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore been saved Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught. Colossians 2:6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not burn your turn opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. Psalm 119:59-60. I considered my ways and turned my feet to thy testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep thy commandments. Psalm 119:59-60. I considered my ways and turned my feet to thy testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep thy commandments. Psalm 119:59-60. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. We'll spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study this evening. If you have your Bibles, please open to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Our purpose for being here tonight, as all of us know, is to focus our attention upon the eternal Word of God. We are blessed individuals indeed, having been born into God's kingdom by faith in Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. And while we're here on the earth, we realize that God has given us an opportunity to travel the highway of grace, to move our way up to the mountain peak of the echo zone. Most of us are aware of the fact that over the years we've analyzed that word, echo zone. We'll be talking about that again this evening. God has given us the opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our purpose and reason for being here now. And so we're going to be sure that we're in fellowship with our Lord as we study His Word, which means we take a few moments in silence, in prayer, to be sure that our hearts are properly related to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we'll ask Him to give us the ability to concentrate and listen attentively and carefully as the Word of God is being proclaimed, so that we'll be able to receive properly, metabolize the truth of God's Word, so that we will be equipped then to find our way into the various activities of tomorrow and coming days, and find ourselves as happy, radiant, triumphant believers. That's our reason and God's plan for us being here. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity which is ours again tonight to come to this place and to study Your Word. We are keenly aware of the fact that all of us have had various activities that have been going on in our lives. And so we come into this auditorium this evening aware of the fact that there are many things that could distract us and keep us from advancing and growing. We pray that You will help us in these moments with silence, that we'll be able to move aside the various things that would distract us from Your Word. And we pray that these moments will be, for all of us, extremely important moments as we focus our attention upon eternal truths. We realize that the Word of God teaches us that we're to walk in love. We're to walk in your matchless grace. We're to walk in the Word of God. We're to walk triumphantly and gloriously every single day. And we thank you that you've made the provisions by which we can do that. We pray that we will tonight again take ourselves, our minds, our hearts away from all of the various distractions and focus our minds upon the eternal Word. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read several verses, and I want you to see how startled I have been as I made preparation even several weeks ago looking at these verses of Scripture. Seeing such a continuation of thought, and then all of a sudden, a drastic, startling change. Some of you have already seen this, and that's okay. If you have not seen it, you're going to see it as I read tonight. It begins like this in Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. I had no difficulty whatsoever when I looked at those two verses, how fantastic they are. I could see that there is an emphasis here upon the responsibility that we as believers have. And that is the Christian believer's walk, to walk in love. I notice that it says, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you, gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. I had no difficulty with those verses, even though I realize that there's an emphasis here upon our responsibility as born-again believers to walk according to God's plan for our individual lives. What I've discovered here is that the Apostle Paul, the instrument of God to write to the Ephesian believers and to us tonight, emphasized the fact that believers have the responsibility of being mimes, imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those first two verses were very challenging for me to study and to present to you, and this we've done. The word walk is an interesting word. You remember that we've already emphasized the fact that there are three Greek words that describe the word walk. I've already emphasized this, but some of you either missed it or you were not here, or even if you were here, it's good for you to hear it again. Three words from the New Testament, the original language, the Greek, for walk. On the screen, you see that we've written out for you, there are three words for walk that we view in the New Testament. Each one of these words has a different meaning. The first word is the Greek word anastrepho. I spell it for you, and then we'll transliterate. In the Greek, you will see it is A-N-A-S-T-R-E-P-H-O. I have it written out here in the Greek for you to be able to see, but also see the transliteration. If you look at it in the Greek, here's the way it looks. A-N-A-S-T-R-E-P-H-O. Most of you have seen Greek letters so many times over these 40 or 50 years, you recognize these, and that's okay. But if you don't, that's also okay. A-N-A S-T-R-E-P-H-O. This word is used for a pattern of life. We could classify it as your pattern of life, my pattern of life. It could be classified as social life, but not primarily. When you go to the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is saying some things to these believers that is startling indeed. I want you to see it. I'll put it on the screen for you to see. Interesting enough, Ephesians 2:2. Perhaps you should write it. Ephesians 2:2 and Ephesians 2:3. Ephesians 2:2 goes like this. A reference to the life of these believers in Ephesus in past days. In reference to their pre-salvation experience. You and I tonight are looking at the post-salvation, that which takes place after we've been born into God's kingdom. But the Apostle Paul says to these believers in Ephesus, I want you to be able to see that there was a time in which you walked according to the course, age of this world. Notice again that the Apostle Paul is saying, I want to remind you as believers who are seeking to walk properly now, remind you of what you were in previous days, in which then you walked according to the course of the age, the course of this world, according to the prince of the power, the ruler of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. What we have here is a startling passage of scripture that the Apostle Paul is reminding the Ephesian believers that there was a time before their salvation that they walked as children of disobedience. We'll come back again in a few moments, but the second word for walk is on the screen for you to see now again, stoicheo, S-T-O-I-C-H-E-O. If you can see clearly from where you're sitting, here's the way it looks in the Greek, S-T-O-I-C-H-E-O. This word refers to action along a particular line. It means to follow a definite course of action. You and I as believers have a responsibility to follow a specific course of action. It's presented in Romans 4:12. It's presented in Philippians 3:16. The third word that I present to you is now on the screen for you to see. If you do not have this one copied, please do so. It is the word peripateo in the original language. Looks like this. In the Greek, P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E-O. I'm not asking you to learn these Greek letters, but I want you to be able to see them. Because what we have here is a compound word made up of P-E-R-I and P-A-T-E-O. P-E-R-I is a prefix here, a preposition which means around. Pateo is a word which means to walk. To walk around. You and I have been called upon to walk according to God's plan. Most of us here tonight are aware of the fact that the members of the Godhead, deity 1, 2, and 3, have magnificent and beautiful characteristics, the essence of God. The essence of God falls into the categories of sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and veracity. Since all of you heard that many, many times over the years, I don't have to repeat those, but I just want you to see, I have just listed for you some of the essence, some of the characteristics of the members of the Godhead. What I can say to you, that Deity One has all those characteristics. That's the Heavenly Father. I can say to you that the pre-existent Christ had all and has all of those characteristics and attributes. I look at the triangle and I see Deity One, the Father. I see Deity Two, Christ. I see Deity Three, the Holy Spirit. And I can quickly tell you that all three members of this triune God have the same attributes and the same characteristics. And when I look at this verse of Scripture, in verse 1, where it says, walk and be followers and be mimes, my question that rises in my thinking is, how in this wide world can any one of us as believers today be mimes, be mimics, be imitators of Deity? And the answer to that is, it's impossible. There's no way that any one of us could ever mime, mimic, imitator, to be an imitator of the characteristics which I've just mentioned in relationship to Deity One, Deity Two, Deity Three. Let me quickly jump into your mind and tell you that Deity Two, the pre-existent Christ, left heaven's glory and came as a human being on the earth. And we call that the incarnation. We call that the hypostatic union. We call that the time when the Holy Spirit brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you go to the book of Hebrews, you will discover that there's an interesting verse that emphasizes the fact that when Jesus Christ came on the scene, that Deity One spoke and in essence said, you've given to me a body. Which tells me that you and I all understand that Jesus Christ is the God-man. We see Him as the pre-existent Christ. We see Him as the existent Christ. We see Him as the eternal Christ. We see Him as the God-man, with all the characteristics of Deity and all the characteristics of humanity. We're not getting into discussion today, now, on this session, in relationship to the various facets of the hypostatic union, other only to tell you the fact that we cannot imitate the mimes of Deity from the standpoint of the essence of Deity. But we are told in the Scripture, in Ephesians 5:1, we're to be imitators, mimes of God. How can that be possible? Only by understanding the hypostatic union. At the last session, you'll remember, we emphasized the fact of the hypostatic union. I always have more information than I can give. I'm smiling when I say that, but I want you to see that the Scripture emphasizes in this passage that we, as believers, must know about Jesus Christ as the God-man. And when we begin to comprehend some things related to Jesus Christ as the God-man, we're able to fulfill the responsibility of Ephesians 5:1 and 2, where we're to walk or mimic or imitate God in Christ Jesus. We've emphasized three words for walk. If you travel toward Houston and out on the other side, you will find that one of the streets out there is named Echo. I've always been impressed with that, because when I think in terms of echo, I realize what the word means in the original language. It's a verb, echo, E-C-H-O. I'm not going to write it out for you. I just want to tell you about it. The word echo means to have and to hold. So some years ago, we began to emphasize what we call the echo zone, which simply means that this is a means, a method by which we teach that you and I are traveling on God's grace highway. And we have the responsibility of advancing on a day-by-day basis so that we can come to a point in life where we see many things, in fact, come to a point in life when we've advanced to the point that we can see most things from a vertical divine viewpoint. Most of us, I'm sorry to have to say this, but most of us have not traveled that highway long enough or far enough that we can see most things from a vertical divine viewpoint. We call this a spiritual walk. On the screen I have it for you. A spiritual walk. When you go to Revelation 3:4, I read, walk with me. Walk with me. When I go to Galatians 5:16, I read, walk in the Spirit. When I go to our passage of Scripture, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, and especially verse 2, walk in love. When I go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, walk not after the flesh. That's what we are going to study next Wednesday night when we look at Ephesians 5, 3. The echo zone believer, if you want to take some notes now. Number one, the echo zone believer walks consistently with the Lord. That simply means that every day that you and I live, we have the responsibility of seeing ourselves responsible to God, to love Him, to love His Word, study His Word, utilize His Word, and have ourselves as a believer enjoying life, living triumphantly and joyfully on a moment-by-moment basis. The echo zone believer walks consistently with the Lord. Number two, this echo zone believer is not obsolete. He's not an obsolete Christian. One on the verge of becoming obsolete. One who has no spiritual vigor. Who is stagnant. Not advancing. And many times, often, individuals have come to a point where they're almost at the point of dying the sin of death. That's a moribund, stagnant believer. Number three, when I go to Revelation 3:4, I mentioned it a few moments ago, we have a remnant of what is called non-defiled, truly committed believers walking with the Lord. The Revelation is a magnificent book, and we have an emphasis in that book of individuals who are walking with the Lord, who are classified as non-defiled, which means that they desire, as I believe you desire, to travel that echo zone grace highway. We pass through various stages as we move up the grace highway. Many times we go beyond the babyhood stage, into the youth stage, the adolescent stage, the young adult stage, the older adult stage, the advanced stage. I'm talking about spiritual advance. It pays for us not to be baby believers. Baby believers are on the bottle, so to speak. They're not eating spiritual steaks. They're participating moment by moment with spiritual bottles. When you go to Revelation 3:4, we have there a picture of remnant of non-defiled, truly committed believers. And they're locked in and traveling God's highway of grace. The question that I have for you and for myself, have we come to a point in life where we are locked in to this Echo Zone grace highway? Number four, walking is the word used in the New Testament to reveal a Christian who understands the importance of being in fellowship, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 2 through 4 speaks of this. Ephesians 5, 2, Ephesians 5, 18, Galatians 5, 16. These are just a few many verses. When you go to Ephesians 5, 18, listen to it. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that verse say? It's a command. It's an imperative verb. It is saying for us not to be a participant of the things of the world in disobedience, but to be a participant with the fullness of the Spirit of God. Number five. Walking describes living one day at a time. What you and I discover is that we're here right now. We have actually no assurance that we will be alive tomorrow. We can thank God for the fact that He's given us this day. We're alive now. One of these days, we're going to be gone from this earth. We're going to either leave this life by means of physical death or by means of the rapture. But we're going to be gone. There's coming a point in the future, maybe even near future, when we'll breathe our last breath. And we'll be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. Or the rapture will occur and we'll move out of here. Walking is describing as living one day at a time. Romans 14, 5 and 6, Ephesians 5, 16, 6 through 18, James 4, 13 through 15. Look at number 6. In walking, balance is necessary. Oh, I've mentioned this to you in the last few days. Walking involves balance. I don't know whether you thought about this, but when you walked into the auditorium tonight, you stepped one step at a time. And while one foot was on the ground, the other foot was in the air. And that demands balance. You didn't think much about it. You just went on walking. You didn't say to yourself, I need to be balanced now because I have one foot on the ground and one foot in the air. You didn't say that to yourself. You may be saying that to yourself tonight when you leave this auditorium because you'll probably be thinking about it. But walking demands balance. Spiritual walking demands balance. We're living in the devil's world. It also demands balance. It's called balance of soul. Balance of soul is determined by a consistent diet of spiritual food. Number seven, walking describes a system of learning. Why do we come to church? Why do you sit there and listen like you're listening here this evening so attentively? How wonderful that is. Walking describes a system of learning. You can't learn while you talk. That's the reason why in our auditorium people don't talk. They listen. I'm not being ugly to you, but I'm simply saying you can't talk and listen at the same time. And that's the reason why this auditorium is always filled with people who are on their very, very best behavior. It's wonderful to see. Any one of our preachers who stand here to preach, you remember that they are proclaiming God's word, and for us to be learners, we have to be listeners. And we have to understand that God has a system of learning. And we have to be quiet and listening attentively and carefully. Notice, if you will, number 8, quickly. There are areas of walking. One of those, and I'm going to just list them very fast. Galatians 5:16 says, walk with the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is not something odd or strange or unusual. It is normal and natural for a believer who's traveling this echo zone road to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians 5:7, says, not only walk in the Spirit, but walk in faith. That's number 2. Number 3, walk in the truth of the word. 3 John 3. I was looking for my number 9. Do I have it in my hand? Is it on the screen? I pushed it down where you couldn't see it. 6, 7, 8, 9. You know what? I couldn't get along without you folks.
It's right there at the very bottom of the screen.
It's at the bottom. Thank you, Snow. How about that? The believer declares that some walk as enemies of Christ, enemies of the cross. Now I'm going too rapidly. I want you to go back. Number 7, walking describes God's system of learning. If you don't have that down, please put it down. Ephesians 5:15, we're to be on guard to walk, the scripture says, circumspectly. Number 8, there are areas of walking as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It includes, as I've already said, walking by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Subpoint 2, walk in faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Subpoint 3, walk in the truth. 3 John 3. Now number 9. The believer declares that some, the Bible declares that some people walk as enemies of the cross. This to me is so sad when I read that people are rebellious to God and His Word. The Bible declares that some walk as enemies of the cross, as in Philippians 3:18. We're not to be rebellious. We're not to be non-perceptive to the living Christ and the living Word. And subpoint 10. The believer uses the word walk to reveal a maturing believer, a maturing echo zone believer, one who walks in the light, 1 John 1:7. One who walks in newness of life, Romans 6:4. One who walks worthy of his vocation, Ephesians 4:1. One who walks in good works, Ephesians 2:10. God has provided everything needed for a successful, fruitful, abundant life. I'm aware of the fact that I always have more information than I want, that we have time to give. But I want to ask you a quick question in these closing moments. Did I say at the beginning that there's no way for us to mimic or mime or imitate deity from the standpoint of the characteristics of the essence of deity? I said that, didn't I? But then I said something else, and maybe you got it, maybe you didn't. But if you did, that's wonderful. If you didn't, here it is again. God wants us to understand that deity too, the pre-existent Christ, left heaven's glory and became God in the flesh. God-man, all God, all man. This simply tells us that when Jesus Christ was the God-man on the earth, he had responsibility. There are so many things that characterize the person of Jesus Christ in the flesh. He got thirsty. I'm sure he got tired. There are various characteristics of humanity that you read in the New Testament. We get tired. We get thirsty. But we have a responsibility to see what Jesus Christ did while he was God in the flesh. He did not depend upon the human characteristics, or did he? He was a human. He didn't reach over and get divine characteristics and bring them down and utilize the divine characteristics. He was God in the flesh. He was human. But the responsibility of being a human was that he was to be as a human being, as we are human beings, under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Something that you need to write into your mind and perhaps even on paper. Jesus Christ became the God-man. And that's where we get the word hypostatic union. Hypostatic comes from two Greek words, hupo, which is a prefix, preposition, under. Stasis means to stand under. Deity, too, the pre-existent Christ, became God in the flesh, the hypostatic union. What you may or may not think about, I put down as point one. Jesus Christ remains in hypostatic union forever as a memorial of his victory in the conflict of the ages. That needs a lot of discussion. It's so fantastic. I want you to see that Jesus Christ remains in hypostatic union forever as a memorial of his victory in the conflict of the ages. What is so interesting is methods of worship change through the ages, but the object of worship never changes. In the dispensation of Israel, the Jews had what we call shadow forms of worship. We will not take the time. We do not have the time, but I want you just to get a little tiny glimpse of it. In the dispensation of Israel, the Jews had a shadow forms of worship. Sacred buildings, sacrifices, holy days, sacred furniture, the tabernacle, the temple, specialized priesthood. As I'm naming these things, some of you are becoming to the point of being identifying these in your mind. They were fulfillment of these shadows. The real image removed Old Testament shadows. In the Old Testament times, everywhere you turned, you had shadows. We cannot take the time to look at each one, but animal sacrifices. Animal sacrifices taught the substitutionary sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. A picture of humanity. This was a continuous reminder of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The laver. We discover here the priests came and cleansed their hands and arms before performing any service or acts of worship found over in the book of Exodus. This cleansing symbolized spiritual cleansing, which is essential for both worship and service for us today. The candlesticks illustrated the need for illumination. Jesus is the light of the world. Exodus 25:31-40. The table of showbread is a beautiful illustration for spiritual food. The altar of incense found in Exodus 30, a piece of tabernacle furniture, illustrated the need for acceptable worship and prayer. No animals were offered on this altar. This was an incense offering, indicating that which is pleasing to God, which is described as gold, silver, and precious stones. Divine good. The fire for the altar of incense came from the brazen altar, indicating that worship can only come after salvation. No strange fire was allowed. Most of you, or some of you, are familiar with Nadab and Abihu, and they died for disobeying this particular rule. The veil, symbolizing the barrier between God and man. You remember that only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and that only once a year on the Day of Atonement, to offer blood on mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was located in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle. It was made of acacia wood, we're told, and it was overlaid with gold. Its dimensions were 50 inches long by 30 inches wide by 30 inches deep. I can only hit this slightly. The Ark was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sins. The box part, representing Christ. The wood, illustrating humanity of Christ. The gold, representing the deity of Christ. I'm aware of the fact that I've had fun. And I'm aware of the fact that it's 7:59. And I'm aware of the fact that we want the Martinsics back up here singing. So we're going to stop right there. May we bow for prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the fact that we realize that there are so many things for us to learn from your wonderful word. We appreciate the fact that we have this completed canon of scripture that gives us so many aspects of your plan for us. And tonight we thank you that you are willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth as the God-man, virgin conceived, virgin born, and you came for the specific purpose of going to the cross to die, to pay for our sins. And tonight we're saved by your grace, not worthy of it at all. saved by grace. We can travel this magnificent highway of grace. The echo zone travels. Help us to see the importance of doing this. And we thank you for your love and grace. In Jesus' name.
Fill up my cup.
Fill up thy cup and let it overflow.
Fill up my cup.
Fill up my cup and let it overflow.
Fill up my cup.
Fill up my cup and let it overflow. Let it overflow with love.
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound.
That saved a wretch.
That saved a wretch like me.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there
10,000 years,
bright shining as
the sun.
We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we.